Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. I'd like to thank you once again for tuning in on this Wednesday evening. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I get excited about every day. Every day that the Lord wakes me up and I can have a smile on my face and a new beginning. Amen. A day that I've never seen before. The Lord woke me up just to have a brand new day, a new beginning. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it every morning, afternoon, and night. Amen. Lord says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We'd like to thank you once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and thank you for being a part of this hour. Amen, amen. For those of you who are listening by internet, you can call in and participate with the ministry when the speaker opens up the mic. And the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And if you just push the number one, amen, you can, the speaker can hear you. Amen. Of course, you know, we are back with our scheduled in New York with the dynamic Pastor Dawn Nixon, amen, who also brings each and every month she brings a word from the Lord. Amen. So I would call someone and let someone know that needs to have the Lord in their life and they need a word from the Lord. If you want to minister to them, call them up and share with them and let them know that we are in New York with Pastor Dawn Nixon. Amen. And if you cannot do that or if you miss them, you can go into the archives and you can go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. And you can hear this message again. We also post it on Facebook. Amen. So we have multiple sources for you to go to. Amen. So there's no reason for you not to be a blessing to someone in your life. Amen, amen, amen. Enough of that. We're going to move on over into Long Island, New York, where the next voice you will hear will be Pastor Dawn Nixon from out of Long Island, New York, who happens to be my hometown where I grew up. So anytime we're in New York, Long Island, New York, I get excited. I feel like I'm back home, amen, even though I'm here in Ohio. So we're moving on over into Long Island, New York, and we're turning it over to Pastor Dawn Nixon. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Elder Clay, and to all of you who are on the line. We are excited about Third Wednesday, as well as the services that Pastor Clay has here with every minister and different ones who are sharing in the word of the Lord. We do not take it lightly or for granted. For God has given us a roadmap, and if we just follow instructions, I believe that we will get to the place where we need to go. We pray that all is well with all of you who are on the line. As Elder Clay has said, you can call someone up and let them know that we are on the line. It's a time where we can come together and study the word of the Lord together. And so we're grateful to God for that. We're going to the word of the Lord. We're going to be coming from Psalms 24, verses 1 through 10, Psalms 24, starting at verse 1. If you would just pray with me, our Father and our God, we thank you on today. We thank you for the opportunity to share a word from you. God, we know that we are only vessels and oracles, that we speak with your permission. And so, God, we thank you on tonight that we pray that there is something that is said that will be a life-changing word to someone. And even though it may seem familiar to many, we pray, Almighty God, that you will open up our eyes and our hearts and that we will allow the word of God to come forth with great power and authority. And so, God, we do not take again for granted all that you have given us, but we thank you even the more, even in the season that we're in, that you are blessing us in spite of us and in spite of what we're facing. We're thankful, and we come back to tell you thank you for all you have done. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. So we're going to Psalm 24, starting at verse 1. One, it is a familiar passage of scripture for those who are in the Word or have been in church. You have heard this particular psalm before. And so we're going to start at verse 1. And the Word of the Lord reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. before he, God, had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Let lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I want to deal with all of this particular verses, but I want to deal with the first couple of verses. I want to take for a subject on tonight that we can deal with together. It still belongs to God. It still belongs to God. And somebody may ask the question, what belongs to God? Well, the Bible starts off in these verses and lets us know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It doesn't stop there, but it says the world and they that dwell therein. Let's stop there for a second at that particular verse. The earth is the Lord's, meaning that God has ownership of the earth. And it also lets us know the fullness of the earth and the world and they that dwell therein. So when given to us from God, it was given for us to manage, maintain, and take care of. It was not for us to take ownership of. It all belongs to God. God is kind enough to those that dwell in. So how do I know we don't own it? Because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's. Watch this, the fullness thereof, the world, watch this, and they. Who are the they? The they that walk the earth, those that he breathed into the nostrils of, and we became living souls. We are in possession of the earth, but we are not in ownership of the earth, watch this, or the world. So let's look at it. The earth was given to us. When it was given to us, Elder Clay, it was given to us for us to grow. The air was clean. The soil was healthy. It brought, we were able to produce fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, many different things that we were capable of using. And because man became so intelligent, they got so to the point that they want to be smarter than God. What I love about God is God doesn't do things that seem like it's so hard. It's very simple. It's very simple. What Adam had to do because of sin, now watch this, he had to till the ground. He had to produce. And he had to bring forth his son Cain and Abel. They were supposed to produce what they used, what they learned, what they have. And this was the way that man was able to reproduce the things that God had. So now we're in the place that now what God has already given to us, It amazes me that man, when they take possession of a thing, they find it. You know, when they find the thing, they automatically take ownership of a thing. Can we just go to history class for a little bit of what some of the things that we've learned that are some false and some are some true? Yes, Columbus came to America. There is still some discrepancy whether or not he's the one that actually discovered it, but he came to America, and when he came to America, you can't find something that somebody's already possessing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let that marinate already. You for a little bit, because it's amazing how you find things where somebody already exists in, and you discovered what's already been founded. Let's look at the next thing. The Bible says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and the righteousness of his God's salvation." I have to go back for a minute because I think I overstepped where I was. Let's go back to 4. That's it. "For he hath founded it upon the seas and establishes upon the floods." That's where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
He hath founded it. That did not mean God found earth and the fullness thereof, or found the world and found those that dwelt in it. No, he was the one who established it. He's the one who allowed things to come into existence. He is the one who allowed the one who originated it, okay? So it wasn't, when this word is reading it, "For he has founded it, that means he's the one who orchestrated it. He's the one that put it together. He's the one that made it what it was. So, you know, we are the ones who've come and see, and we've found from this, and we've learned different things since we've been here. But the people have to understand, when we take ownership, I found this out. If you're listening to me closely, it's like I have people who lease cars and people who, you know, buy the car straight out. And I had a person I know that would lease the cars. And they would, when they would lease the car, knowing that they were only going to have the car for only a couple of years or so, they mishandled the car. They half did the maintenance on the car. They, you know, pretty much abused the car because they knew after a couple of years they were going to turn the car in and it was no longer going to be their problem because they were only leasing it or using it for a time period, and they knew that it was going to go back to the dealership, and the dealership was going to turn that car over and have someone else become an owner of that car. It amazes me that how people treat things when it's not theirs. When it's not theirs, they mishandle it, mistreat it. They don't do the things that they need to do when it needs to be kept up. And so as I'm looking at the world and I'm looking at our society, I'm looking at how things are brought and how things are put together. There's a lot of times seen where people have mishandled things on this earth and the things that are in the earth and those that dwell in it. They have mishandled the soil. They have mishandled the things that God placed in the earth in order for us to exist. They have mishandled the universe. They have mishandled those that are in the universe. And they said, "Well, I'm only going to be here for a short period of time. Watch this. I'm going to live my best life and forget about whoever else is around me." We've got to come to an understanding. I am my brother and my sister's keeper. Yes, I've got to understand that this that I've given, given unto me is a precious position. When God gives you something and he places something in your life, I don't look at it as something that I'm only going to have in my possession for a couple of years. I'm going to take what God gives me, and I'm going to allow God to reproduce what's in me to have something greater. So we've got to understand we are now in a place where in earth, where we are now trying to reduce, we are trying to reuse, we are trying to recycle, all of those things, because we have mishandled some things, because if we would have done some things in the proper order that it should have been, and we've done what we should have done, we cannot take the things that God has given to us lightly. We cannot take the things that God has blessed us with and just mishandle it. Oh, my God, why? Because whatever God gives us has a purpose. Everything that God designed on this earth has a purpose. Every seed that was planted had a purpose. I believe it was Miles Monroe who wrote a book about the purpose-driven life. And he was there were certain minerals, there are certain plants that grow that we wouldn't have to worry about things that we need for the healing of the body. Because even our body were made to heal itself. But now what we have done is that we have taken things and mixed them together, and things that were somewhat man-made, and reproduced things out of its order. Because there are some things, the old back in the day, where we are in Long Island is Indian country. You can go from where I am just a few miles and run right into a reservation of Native American Indians. I live two doors away from an Indian grave site, and they have the Indian grave site there. And they have the stones with the actual, when I was growing up, I never paid no attention to it. It didn't mean too much to me as a child. But as I was growing up, they had the Indian headstones shaped like Indians. And we knew this was an Indian burial ground. And so when I looked at those different things, back in those days, they would take things from the earth that they would make medicine out of, and they would use it for healing and different things like that. And now when we look at it, we say, oh, that's witchcraft, because we didn't go to a doctor's office and get a pill, or go to a pharmacy and get a pill. And we think that that is witchcraft because it came from the earth. No. Let me explain something to you, people of God. The Bible lets us know that the earth is the Lord's, fullness thereof. Anything that God made, he made, and he said it was good. It only became bad when we got our hands on it. My God, we got to understand that it was, my mentor said something powerful to me on the other day. I'm so grateful for his life, Dr. James B. Sturtevant. If you ever get the opportunity to hear this man of God, you've got to hear him. And we're sitting there, we're talking, and we were sharing about Adam and Eve and how they would walk in the cool of the day. But when Adam did something bad, he used what he did good to cover up what he did bad. What do you mean? He was one who took care of the garden. He took care of the earth. He took care of the things of the earth. And when he did something bad and God was looking for Adam and he said, Adam, where are you? The Bible says that he had hid himself, and he had covered himself with the things that he helped grow in the earth. My God, he was good at planting. He was good at taking care of the earth. And when God found him, he was covered up with the things that he was good at. He was good at taking care of all the leaves and all the trees and all those different things. And when he did something out of the order of God, he tried to cover it up. God said to him, where were you, Adam, when I was looking for you? Because this was a time of day that Adam and God, the Bible says that Adam walked with God. Hallelujah. We walked with the voice, watch this, of God in the cool of the day. My God. Have you ever heard a voice walk? My God. When God speaks, you got to understand it takes legs and it takes flight. How do I know that? Because when Jesus spoke, Hallelujah. And the woman who came to Jesus who had a issue of blood, the Bible says there was at the same time going on, there was a young girl who had an issue of blood. The woman had an issue of blood. There was a young girl who was 12 years old who was dying. The Bible says, oh my God, he spoke a word and that word went to where that child was. Let me tell you something. The voice of God walks in the day. He walks to your house. His voice, my God, his voice will come to where you are and take care of your needs. Adam understood that when he walked with God's voice according to the cool of the day, God said to Adam, where art thou, Adam? He said, I hid myself, hallelujah, because I knew I was naked. He said, who told you that you were naked? The only way that you would know that you were naked is if you disobeyed me and did what I told you not to do. And he said, I see you've covered yourself up with some fig leaves. He said, I covered myself up, hallelujah, because I was naked, hallelujah, and I was ashamed. Can I tell you something? Hallelujah. A lot of times we try to cover up what we've done wrong with something we do good at, with something we're good at. We try to make other people, we try to deflect. Hallelujah, and try to act like we didn't do something wrong. And so we try to try to outweigh our bad by doing something good. But the truth of the matter is God sees all things,
knows all things.
He says, this is my earth. This is my world. This is my every existence. I have established this. I have ordained it. I have orchestrated it. I put everything together. I put it in existence. You can't hide anything from me. Hallelujah. Can I tell you the only thing that's keeping us right now in this day and time and keeping us covered, my God, when the fig leaves will no longer work. I need somebody to help me in here. Mm-hmm. When the fig leaves no longer work, God said, I need something to cover you. So when I see you, I don't see your sin. So he got his son. He caused his son to come down to earth and wrapped him up, hallelujah, in flesh. And it dwelt, and he dwelt among us. And the Bible lets us know that the flesh of his son died on the cross and his blood. So the reason why, my God in heaven, that God does not see all the bad things that we've done is because he covered it up with the best thing he has ever done. God, he covered it up with the best thing that could have ever been given to us in life. He said, I want to keep my earth. I want to keep the fullness thereof. I want to keep my work. And watch this. I want to keep those that dwell in my earth. So in other words, I'm going to get rid of your fig leaves and I'm going to turn around and cover you in my blood. Why is that? Because when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Oh, my God. I'm not going to let the things that you've done, the bad things that you've done, oh my God, come between me and you. But what I will do is let God, my son, come between me and you. So when I see you, all I see is the blood. Oh my God. Because if the truth of the matter is, if I see the sin, I would have destroyed you. I would have taken you out. I would have taken you out as if you were one man. But can I tell the people of God that are listening on today, everything that we have, hallelujah, still belongs to God. I don't care who's walking the earth. I don't care who thinks they're better than this one or better than that one. Hallelujah. I don't care who's gloating and floating around the earth. The truth of the matter is everything that's in existence, everything that has been established, my God, everything that's ever been produced was originated by God. How in the world are we going to overtake or override or overtake anything that God already founded, that already existed before our existence? So we've got to understand, how did we become big enough? How do we become bad enough to believe the things that are in the earth are greater than the one who created the earth? I come to let somebody know today who's going through some of the worst seasons of your life, I need you to know who has ownership of this earth. I need someone to understand that one who has ownership over the seas and the floods and over all those things, over the hills, oh my God, over all those things. The Bible says, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Can I tell you, it's not just everybody can stand where God's place is holy. You cannot just have anybody in the holy place. Why? The Bible lets us know he has to have, she has to have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Oh, my God, watch this. And it says, he shall. You shall receive the blessings from the Lord. You're going to receive the blessings from the owner. My God, it's one thing when you have someone comes in who is a manager or a supervisor that says, okay, you have this. But when you have the one who has the ownership of all things, says, I'm going to bless you. That means you have the opportunity of receiving everything, anything, hallelujah, without a go-to man. God said, I'm going to give you, hallelujah, the blessing, and I'm going to give you a righteousness, hallelujah, of the God of his salvation. Oh, my God. There is a generation that's seeking him, and I know that there's some of us in here that may question that because of where we are. But, oh, my God, there is a generation that's still seeking God. There is a generation that is still seeking the face, hallelujah, of Jacob. There's still a generation that has not given up on God. There's still a generation that has not bowed itself to Baal. There is a generation that still says, for God I live and for God I die. Hallelujah. There is a generation that still acknowledges him as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, my God. Who is this King of glory? Many are going to ask this question. Many are going to try to figure out who this is. A lot of times we're looking at this one, we're looking at those who are in government, we're looking at presidents, we're looking at kings of different countries and different parts of the world. We're looking at material things as being kings and gods. But I come to let you know there is no other God that shall be before us. Hallelujah. We thank God because he let us know this is not the time, people of God, to give up on God. This is the time to put your feet right in, hallelujah, and stand still, hallelujah, so that you can see the salvation of the Lord, hallelujah. The Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Can I tell you that when the King of glory shows up, everything has got to stop. Everything has got to cease. This is when you get the standing ovation unto God. There has to be a reference and praise unto God. Hallelujah. When you're talking about the King of kings and Lord of lords, he is the Lord strong and mighty. Let's stop right there. He is strong and mighty. We do not serve a weak God. We do not serve a God that does not know what he's doing. We're not serving a God, hallelujah, who's a mamby-pamby God that don't have no authority over anything. The Bible says he is a strong God. He is a mighty God. That's why he is mighty in battle. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but we are going through a battle right now. Hallelujah. That means we need somebody who's going to be mighty, a force. Please, ma'am, please, sir, do not take God's silence as a sign of his weakness, but let us know that God is a God in the time of our struggle and in the time of our weakness. That's when he is strong. He makes us strong. I love God because God always has the element of surprise. Hallelujah. Just when he had you, my God, that somehow we slip away. How in the world could you have slipped away from the hand of the enemy? How could you have slipped away from cancer? How could you slip away, hallelujah, from sugar diabetes? How could you slip away from this coronavirus? Amen. How could you slip away from all of the things that the enemy tried to get ahead of you? Oh, my God, I need some anointed vessels on this line to understand. It is the oil of God. It's the anointing of God that allowed me to slip away. I have cost. I paid the price for the oil that I have on my life. And that's why sometimes people get upset with those who are anointed by God. How in the world do you keep coming out of those traps?
How come God keeps delivering you? How come God keeps making a way out of no way for you? Oh, my God, because there was a price that I paid for the oil on my life. It is my life insurance policy. The anointing of God on my life is what keeps me day by day. And while others are choosing to do things differently and to try to take over the world for their own self satisfaction and self glory, but I come to let you know I'll give all the glory and honor to God. Why? I give all the honor and glory to God because the reason why I live, move, and have my being is because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. I mean those that dwell in the world and that dwell in this earth that will understand you are not by yourself. God's word is his word. His promise is his promise. He is a promise-keeping God. He does not change because somebody new showed up and they have a fancy way of doing things on the earth. He don't care about how good you look. He created your look. He don't care about what you have. He don't care how many houses you have. He don't care how much money you have. The reason why you have what you have. He don't care how intelligent you are, how smart you are, how many degrees you have. Oh, my God. What he cares about is where your heart and your soul is. Have you not lifted up your soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully? Oh, my God. How many people are still pressing their way, hallelujah, to be in the arms of God? How many people are still willing to understand that the Lord of hosts, my God, that means God is the one who is taking care of all things. He's the host of the one. He is the one that designed all things. He is the host of the earth. He's the host of the world. He's the host of all these things. And I was talking to someone today, Elder Clay, Lady Clay, as I was talking to them, they were telling me how the rocket went up in the air. And I'm so confused today concerning. I was really bothered by it for the simple fact. They said, oh, that's wonderful. They were allowed to get up into the earth and go into the atmosphere. That's wonderful, but God's been in my atmosphere for years. Oh, my God. They had different generations that went up into the atmosphere for $1 million. They spent $1 million to stay in the atmosphere for 11 minutes. Can I tell you I can get to the atmosphere without the rocket? I can be in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because you've got to understand, God is in existence. He is in the world. He is above the world. He's through the world. He's in the world. Can I tell you, if you want to get to God and be in the atmosphere of where the presence of God is, my God, you ain't got to pay $1 million. All you have to do is surrender yourself unto God. There's a place that we can go in God. Hallelujah. Have you felt the atmosphere? He is in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. When we make the atmosphere conducive for worship and praise, is nothing like it. You can take, I don't care how many rockets, you can take $6 million and stay in the atmosphere for a day or for 3 days. It will still not feel the same way when I'm in the atmosphere of worship with God. Hallelujah. God will take you to places far and beyond. Hallelujah. And you're still here on earth, and God will take your spirit out of, hallelujah, out of the earth and into the spirit realm. Oh, my God, if you really want to get a good thrill and you really want to know what it is to be with God and know what it feels to have the anointing of God and God take you in the atmosphere of his presence, my God, where the hosts of angels are crying, holy, 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 my God, hallelujah, tears running down your face. Why? Because you know you're in the presence of God. Hallelujah. There have been times in church and services, and some of you are on this line, where the presence of God was so great, you didn't want to leave, and you knew that God was there to the point that you were ready to go with him right now. I haven't heard nobody say that in years, where they've been in a service where they said, God, the atmosphere and your presence is so great right now. If you came right now, God, I'm ready to go. No, we're not worthy to go because we're so worried about what we've got here left on earth. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. I love my grandchildren. Nothing. I love my children. I love all of them. I love my mother and father. Hallelujah. But if God gives me an opportunity to say, I'm going to give you this opportunity, you can either come with me Hallelujah. And I know for sure you are going to go. If I got an automatic ticket to heaven, I'm going to say so long, bye-bye. I love you. I'll see you on the other side. Why? Because I know that to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a death wish, but let's understand it. What are we doing this for? Why are we in a place of worship? Why are we giving all this honor and glory to God when we're doing all this stuff down here and then don't want to go with him when he comes? My God, that's a problem. You're so stuck and attached to an earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're mistreating you and mishandling you. Oh, my God. The way we have taken the earth and man has taken over the earth and tried to handle it in a way that they see fit and destroyed it. My God. I was looking the other day and I was talking to a man, and he was telling me about how his wife has colon cancer. He said, Dawn, one of the things that is the worst thing that you can have, one of the things that is destroying your body is sugar. Sugar is one of the things that destroys your body. And he said, I did some research, and he said, not until Columbus came and discovered sugarcane did they have any of these types of diseases. Why? Because sugar breaks down and it puts acid in your stomach. And I tell you this, there are so many things that are breaking us down. You've got to learn what is contaminating your spiritual life, not just your physical life, but what is contaminating your spiritual life. You've got to be ever so careful how and where you go and where you take the Spirit of the Lord. If you're not strong enough to handle it, don't go places where you know that God is not going to be able, you can handle it, and God still be able to, and you leave that place with your spirit still intact. If you know that you still have a problem and issues in certain areas in your life, no, I need you to get delivered first before you try to save somebody out of the situation you're already in. You've got to understand that God is a God that will deliver. He is still a God that delivers. He's still a God that still takes care of his people in spite of what we believe and what we see in this day and time. I need somebody in here that knows that it still belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Hallelujah. The song said he's got the whole world in his hands. You and me, sister, you and me, brother, it's in his hands. Hallelujah. Which lets me know that God is in complete control. And so I need somebody to open up their mouth and just say it still belongs to God. Who still belongs to God?
Amen.
What still
Amen.
Belongs to God? I still belong to God. Can I tell you that even if you're not with God, and even if you're not doing right by God, hallelujah, you still belong to God. Hallelujah. People of God, please understand today, you can't run from him. How can you run from something or someone whose existence fills every area?
Yes.
Every area of your existence, he fills that. He is wherever you know, we can hide from people. You know, we can creep in the dark and different things like that. And we will hide stuff from man. But you're not hiding nothing from God. It's amazing
That's
to
right.
me. We'll hide stuff from people where it don't count. Because we're more concerned about what people are going to say or spread. But what will God do? What will God do if your actions and your heart don't line up with his will?
Yes.
That should be our concern.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
If Sister Susie, not if Sister Susie or Sister Brenda is watching us. Should be more. It's God watching me.
It's God watching.
Yes. And can I tell you, people of God, if he owns all of this, if he owns earth, world, and you, then he sees everything that's going on.
Everything.
And the only reason why we are survivors is because his grace and his mercy covers us. Somebody ought to thank God for his grace and mercy. I'm going to open up the line, people of God. I just want y'all to share some things. And if you are on this line and you've heard some things on this line that may have blessed you or some things that may have opened up your mind and gave you a revelation even in this word, I believe that even though this word is something that we read over and over again. There is such great, great, great value in what God is saying here. I need the enemy, and I need everybody in the earth and the world and the fullness thereof to understand we are here on borrowed time.
Yes.
It does not belong to us. It all belongs to God.
Amen.
How are you going to treat God's things? You should treat God's things as if it were your own.
That's right.
Amen. So you can open up your lines. Open up your lines, people of God.
Hallelujah.
And share it with us and let us know.
I like to say that there's a very mighty word and food to digest, you know, the world and within it, you know, the plants, everything in the world, God created, it's his. So you can't discover something that has already been created. It's already been inhabited. And that's how the world is, in, you know, people in the world are taking things, you know. And they're not, you know, like the rented car, for example. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to dog this car out. I'll just be turning it in a couple of years. It's not my problem, you know. But anyway, as opposed to taking care of it as if this is mine. And we have to look at the earth in the same way. And the people in it with the, you know, demonstrated sense of love towards God and his creation.
Amen. Amen.
I just talk to it, walk the word.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, family.
Good evening.
It is really good to be on tonight. I'm a late comer, but I call a scripture that Pastor quoted that helped me to remember. And, you know, sometimes even as pastors and ministers and so-called full-blown Christians, we tend to forget that the scripture she quoted, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything that dwell therein. I just appreciate the fact that I got on just enough time to hear that. Because like I said, I have to be reminded of that sometime, because I get out here sometime and think this is mine and that's mine and I'm taking this and I'm taking that and nothing belongs to me and nothing belongs to us. We're living on borrowed time. Every breath we take is borrowed. Every step we make is borrowed. Nothing belongs to us. And I just wanted to encourage Pastor and say to her, I appreciate the reminder.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
And God bless you, Pastor Dawn. God bless you, everyone on the line. An awesome message on this evening. But as the word, you fed us fully, and the talking of God's earth, that we on God's earth, and the illustration of the borrowed vehicle. We are on borrowed time, but we're not here to abuse it or dismantle it, put it forth without use. And through God's word, everything that God gives us, we hold forth to embrace it, just like if it's our own. That what he has given us to our best prosperity that we can with the gifts that he gives us. And those things from the earth, let us recognize, but let us not be not mindful, but to use to the best of our ability and through God's glory and honor through the marvelous work that he has set upon each and every vessel. We give him glory. We give him glory on each and every
vessel.
And let's not abuse. We get abused by things of man-made, and that's where you hold forth when you said the paraphrase about the sugar intake of how it died and how it breaks down the body. There's things that breaks down the vessel. We hold forth that is good to our to our taste buds, but it's not good for the body. So what God has set for us to digest is good. It's not to hold forth, to embrace, to intake, and particulate on things that it's not to be wasteful, but to use to our best of our abilities and what he has given us for. So not everything that holds forth to embrace is just as simple as a fig leaf. We use that to hold forth, to endure. It's not to cover up, but to enhance us. And so that the words that came forth, the words that you imparted, don't digest the bad things, even though they might look good. But we're supposed to digest, hold forth, and embrace that God has given us and not to abuse it. So we abuse all, don't abuse God's word. Don't abuse what he has given us, but hold forth the purpose that he set forth in our lives to encourage one another and to also to first encourage ourselves in all that endures into who he has called forth to spread his word. And we're all here to spread his word, but to stay encouraged and embrace all the challenges that we're going forth in. Don't seek the man-made things that look good. Embrace it and what God has set forth here on earth, the fullness of the earth that he has created, let us seek it even the more, not to put it to the side. But it was an awesome word, and you said it well. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you. God bless you. All of you. Amen.
May I come in and ask a favor of the family? Listen, guys, I'm taking my wife to Huntsville, Alabama, tomorrow morning. She is going to have surgery. And I wish I had got on earlier so I could ask you guys, but I'm asking now for each and every one of you to lift her up tomorrow morning or even tonight as we make preparations to go down and have this surgery that she's having tomorrow. So I appreciate it. I can already feel the prayers going up, even though you ain't open your mouth. I can already feel them. So I appreciate it, and just keep us lifted up. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Doyle, would you take a minute? That is Pastor Robinson from out of Tennessee. Would you take a moment and pray for his wife?
Absolutely.
Since he's asking for prayer, and we are in agreement corporately, because that's what we do, folks. That's what we do. We come together, you know, to pray for one another and encourage one another.
Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you, first of all, for giving us your word. We thank you, oh God, for allowing this word to come through and touch the hearts of men and women. Most of all, God, we thank you because you are still God who has authority in all things. And so, God, we know where to come. You said to us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so, God, we come before you boldly, oh God, respectfully, with great reverence, my God. Hallelujah. We pray, Daddy, that you will take care of all things. And God, as the petition has gone forth, I pray for my sister who is going for surgery on tomorrow. We pray, God, today that you will guide the hand of the doctor. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, for the doctor that he would have great rest. We pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that he will be skillful, hallelujah, in what he does. We pray, Almighty God, that my sister, when she goes under, God, will have communion with you, oh God. Hallelujah. She will speak to you, oh God, and you will encourage her heart even while she lays on that operatory. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch her husband, oh God, even as he's waiting in the room, oh God. Hallelujah. Make it well with his soul, oh God. We pray, Almighty God, that you would strengthen him as he's praying and caring for her. We pray, Almighty God, that all things will be well in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that the operation will will go well. We pray that God, she will come out of it and she will fulfill the promise and the purpose of her life. We pray, oh God, today, hallelujah, that there will be even a greater anointing on this couple. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, for their souls that need to hear of them. We pray, Almighty God, today that you will just move by your power anyone else that is on this line who is going through some things or in need of some things. We pray, oh God, in the behalf of our sisters and brothers, we come together as a body of believers, knowing, God, you can do all things, for you created all things. You know the body. You know every organ. You know every vessel. You know where it flows. God, we know. God, you let us know that the hairs on our head were numbered, not counted. So you know each number that's on our head. And, God, if you know each number, that you know who we are. And we want to come back and tell you thank you in advance for what you're about to do for my sister. In the mighty name of Jesus. What you're about to do for my brother. Even the travel there, we pray, oh God, as they travel, oh God, hallelujah, speaking and come in that car, oh God, anoint them. Let them be able to commune with you in the presence, oh God, as they even travel, oh God. We ask that every nervous spirit that comes together, every fear that is from the devil will take flight now in the name of Jesus. And we ask, God, that your glory will be opened unto them and that, God, they will see your glory today in the land of the living. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
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 Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, God. I appreciate that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a couple more minutes of any more comments at this time. Any more comments? Amen. Well, as we come to the close, Pastor Nixon, thank you so much for the prayers.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for the anointing on your life, your family, and all those that surround you. As you come on a regular basis, monthly basis, without skipping a beat, and if you do skip a beat, there's something else that you're doing for the Lord, even if it's rest. Even if it's just rest, something that you're doing for the Lord. And so we thank you for your heart and for what God is doing in your life and for others. We thank you so much at this publicly we thank you. For those of you that came on, that join us, we do thank you for coming together. And let me tell you something, you know, there's been so much going on over the air. You know, there's just so much going on over the air. Pastor Nixon has a prayer worship service that is anointed. There's just so much going on, you know, that we cannot say, you know, that we don't have time, you know, to spend worshiping the Lord. Because I truly believe, you know, that our conduct is what makes the difference when we come together worshiping the Lord. And that's what God looks at. You know, he looks at our conduct and having a pure heart, that when we come before him praising him and acknowledging his sovereignty, God rewards. I truly believe that God rewards us from the depths of our hearts. And I do pray that you have received a word this evening. I do pray that whatever you're going through, as Pastor Nixon had mentioned, God is the one who is the creator of all things. And when you submit whatever it is that you're going through to God, he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. So please do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. We speak life, not death, in the name of Jesus. So again, we thank you so much. As we come together in prayer, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this woman of God who has poured out a word to the body of Christ, Heavenly Father, as we journey for you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bless her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Heavenly Father, that she might continue to walk, you know, and her steps are ordered by you. We just thank you for that. We thank you for all of the listeners that are on, even those who were not on, Father. We pray that you would bless them in a mighty way, that each and every time that we come together worshiping you in spirit and in truth, Lord, knowing that you are in the midst. And when you're in the midst, things begin to happen. And we just say right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being a rewarder, for being a healer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your sovereignty. We thank you for being a God of all gods, a Lord of all lords. We thank you for knowing our every thought even before we think it. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, Father. And, Lord, as we close, Heavenly Father, Lord, let us not forget, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you are the one, Heavenly Father, that we worship each and every time that we wake up. We just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. May God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Have a blessed week, everyone.
God bless you.